Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Jordan Strzok. We are at Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park. Regular producer Nate Vaughn still on vacation. Fill-in producer Jordan Strzok still doing a great job.
I'm starting to miss Nate.
Are you?
No, I'm just kidding.
That's great, because I know, Nate, I know he's on vacation, but I also know he has a Vikings app, so he's listening here. And, you know, it's kind of his, you know, it's partially his deal, the Wobcast, you know, so I think he wants what's best for his baby. But you couldn't blame him if he's hoping for, like, a few slip-ups here and there. And last week's episode just had no slip-ups.
Right, it's definitely not going to happen. Not on my watch, right. Not on your watch.
So I think he's sweating. Wherever the heck he is across the globe, he's sweating right now, I think. And we have another great show on tap today. We're going to get into record watch for the Vikings in 2016. Jordan and I are going to step into the prediction world. He's going to ask me some questions. I'm going to make some predictions, which we don't often do here at the Vikings Entertainment Network. We're more into the analysis, less into the predicting, but we are just in front of the 2016 season, so we're going to do some predictions, and then we're going to close the show with some of your mail. So let's kick things off, Jordan, with record watch. I have three players and some bullet points under each player, and those bullet points detail a record or records that these three players are poised to set, tie, or break in 2016. So the three players are Adrian Peterson, Cordero Patterson, and Blair Walsh. We will go with your choice on which one to start with.
Well, since we're starting with this and he's going to kick off the show, I think it's only right that we start with Blair Walsh.
Okay. Now, Blair, with the missed field goal in the playoffs last year, that's what everyone remembers. But what I want people to also remember is how solid Blair has been throughout his career with the Vikings. He was a rookie in 2012 and was one of the best kickers in the NFL that year. And he's been solid for the Vikings ever since, that missed field goal in the playoffs notwithstanding. So that sets up the record that Blair is close to setting in 2016. Blair currently sits in second place all-time Vikings history for highest field goal percentage, career field goal percentage, 85.2%, narrowly trailing Ryan Longwell's 86%. So you have Blair Walsh at 85.2%. Career field goal percentage, Ryan Longwell at 86, so just 0.8% separating the two. Last year, Blair had 39 field goal attempts, okay? So for easy math, let's round that up to 40. Let's say he has 40 field goal attempts this year. If Blair makes 36 of the 40, he would then surpass Ryan Longwell's mark and become the most accurate field goal kicker in Vikings history. Now, 36 of 40 is a really good season. He was 34 of 39 last year, so he would have to make two more kicks in one more attempt, and if he were to do that, he would be the most accurate field goal kicker in Vikings history. Pretty cool, right?
I feel like that's pretty crazy, actually, in his second season already, you know?
Yeah, and back-to-back, you know, you get Longwell and Blair back-to-back, you know, so and now Blair kicking inside for 9 of 16 games this season. 8 home games at US Bank Stadium, and then, of course, the annual game at Ford Field. So I give Blair I give him a puncher's chance to do that. And if he does not do that this year, there's a really good chance that he'll do it next year.
Right. And I know during minicamp, too, the guys, Blair and Jeff and Kevin McDermott, mm-hmm. Went down to US Bank Stadium to kind of get, you know, a feel for the new stadium and the turf and, you know, with those the largest pivoting doors in the world, or America, or Minnesota, or Minneapolis,
right.
Whichever it is.
Well, they're larger than any pivoting glass doors I have at my house.
They are bigger than the patio door that I have at my house.
Right.
Yes, you know, and I know, you know, just talking to them off to the side, they were mentioning that, you know, with the wind coming in those doors, it is creating some sort of a weird feel in there. But they are already working hard on that to figure out and make that a home field advantage.
Yep. So I'm looking forward to watching those guys kick inside, kicking at US Bank Stadium, and Blair making some big kicks for us.
Secondly, I think we should kick it to Cordero Patterson.
I love what you're doing here. This is why Nate Vaughn is sweating right now. He hates this. He's probably turning it off. He can't listen. All right, Cordero. Three here. Cordero needs one kickoff return touchdown to tie Percy Harvin for the most in franchise history. Five. Cordell right now has four. The record is five by Percy Harvin. So one would tie, two would set the record for Cordarrelle Patterson. If Cordarrelle leads the Vikings in kickoff return yards this season, which barring injury, he will, he will pass Billy Butler and Brett McClanahan for the most consecutive seasons leading the Vikings in kickoff return yards. All currently sit at three consecutive seasons. If Cordarrelle leads us in kickoff return yards this season, it will be the fourth consecutive season. That will be a Vikings record. And finally, Cordarrelle needs only 340 kickoff return yards to become the franchise leader in career kickoff return yards. Right now, Darren Nelson holds that mark, 3,623. Cordarrelle just 340 yards behind that number. You figure he'll get there, I don't know, four, five, six games into the season. At the most, he should have that record.
Next, let's give the ball over to Adrian Peterson to take us down the stretch.
Okay, good job. We'll call that a segue.
Thank you.
That was a good segue. All right, sit back and relax because I got four bullet points for you here on Adrian. Heading into 2016, the record watch for Adrian Peterson. Adrian averages 12 touchdowns per season, okay? If he scores 10 rushing touchdowns in 2016, he will post his ninth season with 10-plus touchdowns. LaDainian Tomlinson, with nine, is the only running back ahead of him in NFL history in this category. So right now, Adrian and Emmitt Smith both have eight seasons of 10 or more rushing touchdowns. LaDainian is the only one with nine. If Adrian has 10 or more this year, he will tie LaDainian for the most in NFL history with nine. If Adrian scores eight touchdowns of any kind, returning, rushing, or receiving, he will tie Chris Carter for the most touchdowns in Vikings history. That's a pretty cool record. I hope that happens at US Bank Stadium because the fans will love that. Adrian needs three rushing touchdowns to reach 100 career rushing touchdowns. He would become just the ninth player in NFL history to reach 100 rushing touchdowns. And finally, Adrian right now is number 17 on the NFL's all-time rushing list with 11,675 yards. He needs 605 rushing yards to break the top 10 all-time rushing in NFL history. 605 yards to break into the top 10. An average season for Adrian is 1,459 yards, about what he had last year, which, you know, just no big deal. Average for him is 1,400 yards.
It's okay.
Yeah. Okay, so an average season for Adrian would move Adrian to eighth all-time, ahead of Tony Dorsett and just 126 yards from passing Eric Dickerson for seven. So if Adrian has a little bit above standard of a season, he will pass Eric Dickerson for seventh on the NFL's all-time rushing list. So pretty cool. Some record watch there for your Minnesota Vikings entering 2016. Now, each of those three guys have more. Teddy Bridgewater has some. But a lot of them get into like some nitty gritty detail stats. These are just the more obvious and the numbers that everyone pays attention to. Of course, you can track those all season on Vikings.com, where we do a weekly written article that details record watch and numbers of note. You can also track those records by going to Vikings home games, where on our big beautiful HD LED boards will be tracking all of those records for your favorite Vikings. All right. Let's start doing some predictions, man. Everyone loves predictions. We tend to stay away from predictions just because so many people do them and we would rather analyze what happens than try and predict what's going to happen. But this is the time of year where, you know, everyone's in the prediction business. So, Jordan, you have 10 questions.
I do.
I will do my best to give you some answers. We'll go back and forth on some of them, and we'll have a little bit of fun here predicting some Vikings performances for 2016.
All right, Wabi, these 10 predictions that you are about to make
are
regarding Vikings players in 2016.
Yes.
Number one, who will make the biggest jump from 2015 to 2016?
I look at Stephon Diggs. He had 52 catches last year in his rookie season. I think the pass protection is going to be better. I think Diggs will know the offense a little more. and I think Teddy and Diggs will have an even better rapport than they had last year. I think Diggs could have 80-some catches this year. So I'm saying the answer to this question is Stephon Diggs, who could go from 52 catches to around 80. I think Kendricks is a good answer here, but people forget he had 105 tackles last year. So, I mean, I think it's hard to do a lot better than that. You could also say Danielle Hunter, because a lot of people think he's a guy who could explode, but he had 6 sacks last year. I mean, so that's not a number to sneeze at. It would be hard to do better than 6 sacks. So to me, the answer to this one is Diggs.
Question number 2. Who will score the first touchdown at U.S. Bank Stadium?
I think it's Adrian. He can score from anywhere on the field, and he is our main man once we get inside the red zone, once we get inside the 10, once we get on the goal line. So to me, the answer here is Adrian, and obviously I really hope it's not a member of the green and gold. But regular season touchdown, the first one at U.S. Bank Stadium, put me down for Adrian Peterson.
Wobby.
Yes.
Is the first game at U.S. Bank Stadium against a rival of ours.
Yes.
So then would it not be neat if the first touchdown scored at U.S. Bank Stadium instead of Adrian Peterson was Cordero Patterson on the first kick return?
I see where you're going.
Of U.S. Bank Stadium. The first time that ball's touched, it doesn't leave his hands until he gives it to the ref in the end zone.
It goes to Cordero. It's a 105-yard kickoff return touchdown. Oh.
Right.
And then you and I are just doing the Vikings war chant thanks to Iceland, and the place is going nuts. Sign me up for that.
I mean, Adrian would be okay, but I think that would be a pretty decent scenario as well.
How about this? How about they're so scared of Cordero Patterson that they just blast it out of the end zone, and so we get it at the 25 because that's the new rule now, and Adrian goes 75 yards, touchdown, first play.
Or they kick it short, and it lands in Joe Berger's hands.
First touch of the of U.S. Bank Stadium goes to Joe Berger.
Who's going
to
catch him?
Nobody. Lots of people.
Yeah, probably.
All right.
Question number 3.
Yes.
Who will lead the team in receptions and yards?
Diggs and Diggs. Am I too Diggs heavy?
I mean, so far. But, I mean, it's expected with the season that he had last season. You know, he came on the scene and had a very good successful season last year.
I think he's a volume catcher. I think he's not comparing him style-wise to either of these guys, but just volume catcher. He's Edelman or Antonio Brown, where you want to get those guys the ball as much as possible. Short throws, intermediate throws, hand the ball off to them, have them run deep down the field. Like these guys are volume players. And I think that's what Diggs is. So to me, you could go Rudy for receptions. You could go another receiver for yards. But to me, it's Diggs and Diggs, and I think I'm going to be right on at least one of them.
Right. Diggs definitely looks the part this season. Just everything that I've seen in OTAs and minicamp, you know, he's coming in with the right mindset, and you can just tell that, you know, he's looking to improve on this season from last season.
Agreed.
Question number 4. Who will lead the team in tackles?
I say Kendricks again. He had 105 last year, and that's without playing a lot in the first 3-4 games. So I'm saying he's going to be up there in like the 130-ish range, and I don't see another player who's going to have more than that. I mean, Greenway used to be a shoe-in for this, but he's not going to play as many snaps as Kendricks. Kendricks is going to be the Mike linebacker in base and in nickel, and so to me, this one's Kendricks all day long.
Is there any chance that the collegiate leading tackler from last season, Kentrell Brothers, has anything to say about this at all?
I think sometime down the road, possibly, but not this year.
That's fair. What about on special teams?
I do think he could be a special teams machine, tackling machine on special teams. I mean, this guy led the nation last year. Every team, which like there's like 120 college football teams, he led all players in tackles last year. Kentrell Brothers, we got him in the 5th round. So I'm not sure what was happening, but we got him, and I think he's going to be a special teams guy for us big time as a rookie.
Question number 5, surprise Pro Bowl contender.
I got one, and I think this is a great answer, and I'm going to give you the answer, and then I'm going to explain it to you, and I think it's going to make sense, all right?
I'm ready.
Matt Khalil. And I think that given some of the public scrutiny Matt has endured and maybe even from some people who are listening right now, may have been critical of Matt in recent seasons, particularly in 2013. You know, they probably spit their coffee out just now or drove off the road or whatever they're doing, fell off their seat in the subway. But listen, here's the deal with Matt Khalil. Big time season for him in 2016. It's effectively a contract year for him. He is the left tackle on a team that won 11 games last year and is expecting to do as well or even better. Protecting the blind side of a quarterback entering his third year, the franchise quarterback, blocking for the best running back in the NFL. On a team that won the division last year. I think Matt has every opportunity to be a Pro Bowl caliber player. And here's the deal. He's already been a Pro Bowler. So we're not asking him or expecting him or predicting him to do something that he's never done. He's done this. He's been a Pro Bowl player. Now, when he was a Pro Bowler, it was 2012, his rookie season. Adrian had a monster year. And we still have Adrian, and he's coming off a season in which he led the league in rushing. So he's obviously not slowing down. I think Teddy can take a step up. Matt is a key component to both Adrian and Teddy's seasons. I think both of those two guys are going to have good seasons, and that's going to reflect well on Matt. So to me, a great surprise candidate for Pro Bowl this year is Matt Khalil, because no one is expecting that from him, and I think he can do it.
Question number six, which is greater, passing TDs or all other TDs?
This is a cool one. This is a cool question. Last year, the Vikings had 38 touchdowns, 14 were passing. So it was lopsided, 24-14 in favor of other TDs. And I'm going to say other TDs will still win this year. I think the margin will be narrower because I think Teddy will have more than 14 passing touchdowns this year. So I don't think it'll be 24-14. It could be more like, you know, 22-20 or something like that. But I still think other TDs will win because Adrian's good for 10, 11, 12 or more. I think Cordero and Sherrills can give you a couple. I think the defense will score a few. And then I think McKinnon, Asiata, Zach Line are good for a handful. So I still think other will win, but I think the gap will be closed by Teddy and company.
All right, so for number seven now, take you and I out of this one.
Okay.
So you can't answer me and you can't answer you.
Okay.
Who will be Mr. Mankato 2016?
Yeah, we're usually we're strong contenders every year for Mr. Mankato. God, this is a good one. I'll go with Danielle Hunter.
I like that one. Yeah. I like that a lot.
You know, playing kind of a splashy position that people like to pay attention to on a really good defense, going against what should be a rotation at right tackle. I mean, it's going to be TJ Clemmings, Andre Smith, and Phil Lodeholt rotating in and out there. And so I think that Danielle will have the opportunity to shine a little bit in training camp. And a lot of people are going to be excited about him. Physically gifted athlete starting to put it all together against the run, against the pass with this defense. So I think Danielle Hunter has a great shot.
Question number eight, leader in preseason touchdowns.
Ah, I thought, you know, thinking about this one, it's got to be a guy who is skilled enough to score touchdowns. And it's got to be a guy who plays enough, you know, because like your starters aren't playing. So you're going to take Adrian out of this, Rudy out of this. You're going to take Diggs out of this. McKinnon comes to mind, but to me, it's rookie tight end David Morgan, because assuming you don't have Rhett, at least at full strength, maybe not at all, I think David Morgan is a natural guy to try and put into that role. So not only will David Morgan be the primary pass-catching tight end once the regulars leave the game, once Rudy and Pruitt are out, it's the David Morgan show at tight end, so you can score from that standpoint. But he can also maybe work himself into the rotation with the first team if he has a good enough camp, so he might score even more then. And I think he plays that Rhett Ellison role where maybe you line him up at H-back and he gets a goal line rushing touchdown, or you bootleg the quarterback, Taylor Heineke, bootlegs right and has David Morgan in the flat on the goal line touchdown, like that sort of thing. I can see David Morgan with 3, 4, 5 touchdowns in the preseason. That will easily lead the team.
I have a player that could beat him.
Let me hear it.
But it could be cheating. It could be deemed as me cheating.
Okay, hold on. Who could it? How could you cheat on this?
He's from Old Dominion.
Oh, you're going with the quarterback. Taylor Heinicke.
I think Taylor Heinicke could have a build off of his preseason that he had last year. You know, he showed a lot. I mean, yes, he's the quarterback. He's going to touch the ball every time. And, you know, most likely David Morgan will have a lot of help from Taylor Heinicke to get the leading preseason touchdowns. But I think Taylor Heinicke is set for a big preseason this
Me
year.
Me too. I'm excited to watch him. You know, he played great against Tennessee in the preseason finale last year. That was cool. So I am excited to watch him at camp and in the preseason as well. And like I said, Heinicke bootleg right, finds David Morgan in the flat, 2-yard touchdown pass. It's like a staple play in most offenses, and that's why, because it works.
That call wasn't as good as PA, but it was close.
I'm not auditioning for his job.
Question number 9.
Yes.
Who will lead us in sacks this season?
I'll go with Everson again. Third straight year, Everson Griffin. Third straight year, he leads us in sacks. Third straight year, he gets to double digits. And finally, he should be in NFL Network's top 100 players next year at this time.
You know, when we went through that on the last episode of Wobcast, the top 100, I was a little disappointed that we didn't go any deeper into Vikings that got, you know, missed the top 100, because I had Everson Griffin on there like we all do. But then I think another one that you could argue is Anthony Barr.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even mention him, but you're totally right about that.
And those two players, obviously, you know, Everson Griffin, you're out on a pretty strong limb. I mean, you're probably not going to fall off the tree here. But I think, you know, you could definitely add Anthony Barr in this category as well.
Absolutely, and I get it's a player vote thing, so it's a vote among your peers, and Barr is young and he's missed some time. But, I mean, I mean, obviously, if we had one of those, like, drafts where every player goes into the free agent pool, Barr is he's one of the first 100 players off the board, right? I mean,
definitely.
He has the potential to be one of the most dynamic defensive players in the league at some point in time. So I agree with you. That's a good one that we missed last week.
Question number 10, the last prediction that we'll go through currently on this Wobcast. With Blair Walsh, how many game-winning kicks will Blair Walsh have in 2016?
I love this one because, you know, the missed field goal against Seattle in the playoffs, it kind of casts a shadow in your mind over all the great things that he's accomplished in his career. I mean, he was hitting 50-yard field goals and game-winning kicks all the time, you know, leading up to that one against Seattle. And if he would have made that kick against Seattle, he honestly would have been the MVP of the game. I mean, he would have scored, like, all of our points. So I'm on 3 here. Mark me down for 3.
I think that first opportunity that Blair Walsh gets to kick a field goal at US Bank Stadium, fans sitting behind the goalpost better watch out, because I feel like he might kick it through the net.
Yes.
Kick it that hard through the net to get, you know, last season, he's been waiting for this year to start so bad just to shake that. No one else can talk about it ever again, you know, and whoever it is, they better bring helmets.
Yes. And for me, just because we've been around Blair his whole career, I want him to have a clutch kick in the first game of the season. And I will be confident that he's going to make it. And I know that when he does make it, no one else should worry for the rest of the season for him on clutch kicks. You know, I want him to get the opportunity for a clutch kick ASAP this season.
He's definitely one of those players that you want to cheer for and you want to be successful. You know, just his personality and how he is here at the facility. Yep. Like, you want Blair Walsh to be so successful, and I think he will be.
Yes, I agree with that. All right, let's get to some fan mail. We have 3 questions. We're going to close the Wobcast with some of your mail. We love it when fans dictate what we talk about. The best way to do that is to take some fan mail, include it in the Wobcast. If you don't check it out every week, the Monday morning mailbag goes up first thing Monday morning every single week. Fan questions, I answer them. Make sure you check that out. It's a very popular article on our website. Jordan and I also do the Pick 6, which is 6 fan-submitted questions, emails, or tweets, where we address those and answer those questions or comment on the comments and the sentiment from the fans. So make sure you send those submissions in as well. We usually film those on Tuesdays. We also like to include fan mail in the Wobcast, and we're going to do that right now. And Jordan has the questions.
The first question is from Wolfie.
Mm-hmm.
Wolfie wants to know, Wobby, you can pick 2 of these 3.
Okay.
If 2 of the 3 of Patterson, Charles Johnson, or Laquon Treadwell look good, any chance they play outside and they move Stephon Diggs inside to the slot?
Yeah. Yes, there is a chance of that. So let's answer the question right there by saying, yep, there is a chance that happens. But what I don't like about the question is it's leaving out Jarius Wright, you know,
right,
who is a great slot receiver for us. But Jarius can play outside as well. And that's what I love about this wide receiver group. I think it's a group of players that's pretty versatile inside and outside. I mean, I saw him training Treadwell in the slot in the offseason program, and that's not breaking any news. That happened when the media was watching too. So I love the versatility of this group of receivers. I think Jarius is the best guy to operate out of the slot, but I think Patterson can do that, and I do think Diggs, because of his quickness and his shiftiness, is a good option out of the slot as well.
Yeah, I think this year's wide receiving crew, you know, we don't have a Pro Bowl wide receiver, you know, as of yet on this team, but I think that our wide receiving group is a Swiss Army knife of just utilities of guys going every which way in the slot, outside. I mean, everyone's so versatile, and I think people are going to be very surprised with how successful they are this year.
I agree with that. It's a versatile group. A couple of them can help on special teams, and they have great rapport with Teddy and they're young, so it's a good group.
Levi has the second question.
Okay.
He's from Eagan, our future home of the
Winter
old
Park.
Vikings, Winter Park. What are you most excited about when we play our first game at U.S. Bank Stadium?
Ooh. I think it's seeing what the crowd noise is going to be like. You know, seeing if it's going to be a loud building because, you know, Jordan, we worked in the Metrodome for as many seasons as we did, and that place was incredibly loud. I mean, standing next to each other on the sideline, sometimes you couldn't hear each other talk, you know, so... And I thought that was really an advantage for the team. And I hope that we have that type of atmosphere at U.S. Bank Stadium. So I think I'm the most anxious to find out about that. So I think, anxious is the right word for that. I'm really excited for the open video, the starting lineups, and kickoff every day where the crowd is just juiced and amped up. You know, because that moment... It doesn't matter what your team is doing. If you're the home team, whether they're receiving the kickoff or they're kicking off, you can be super loud at that moment in time. Like when the offense is on the field, you got to be quiet because your offense is at work. When the defense is on the field, you got to be loud because you're trying to inhibit the offense's ability to communicate. But at kickoff, it doesn't matter. You can be loud no matter what. So I think I'm really excited because I think you know, all you guys are doing a great job on the open videos and the entertainment aspect of the stadium, and I know the crowd's going to be juiced up. So I think I'm excited for like 15 minutes prior to kickoff, leading up to kickoff, and then the kickoff, and then the return. All right, question number three. Let's close this thing up with a question from Jerry. What's he got?
I got pretty excited to get to Jerry's question. He's got some concerns. You need to sort it out.
Okay.
You know, he has some concerns. He also wants to know a little about my guy, Taylor Heinicke. So
okay, here we go.
Here we go. I'm assuming the Vikes will have three quarterbacks. If not three on the active roster, then two, but with the third on practice squad.
Got it. I'm following. Yep.
Last year, I was pleasantly surprised with Taylor Heinicke, but I haven't heard much about him this offseason. Will Sean Hill make the team? Will Heinicke improve to the backup quarterback, or will he remain the third quarterback, or will Joe Stave beat him out for number three?
Jerry has a lot on his mind.
There's a lot of questions in that question.
I appreciate it, though. I don't know the answer to those questions, right? We don't know if Sean Hill's going to make the team, if Heinicke is going to be three. We don't know.
Please do say something to help Jerry sleep at night, because I'm imagining that Jerry's probably not sleeping very well.
Jerry, I think you like Heinicke. I think Jerry likes Taylor Heinicke. So the good news is I think Heinicke will make the team. I think he's on the team, either as the backup or the number three. I think it's unlikely but possible that he beats Sean Hill out for the job. You know, Sean has the veteran presence the team wants in that quarterback room with three other young quarterbacks, including the franchise quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater. So it's nice to have that veteran presence. Sean knows where the bones are buried in this offense because he's played in a Norv Turner offense previous to coming here with Norv. So there's that veteran guidance and that leadership that I think the team values in Sean Hill. And you know, you still don't know if Taylor's ready to come into a regular season game. And granted, you don't know until he does it and then he fails or succeeds. And he can't become good at it without doing it. So at some point in time, he's got to be the guy who does it as the backup. I just don't know if we're there yet. But Taylor has a chance to prove that during training camp and the preseason. And Sean, he's been through this 14 other times. I mean, this is his 15th season. So nothing is new to Sean. He understands how the game works. Taylor is still young and developing. Joel Stave, I think, probably had a pretty good spring and probably improved and developed. He's the all-time winningest quarterback in Wisconsin Badgers history, so there is that. But I don't think he's likely to supplant Heinicke as the three or Hill as the two.
The one thing, too, that jumps out at me is that, however it shakes out with Sean Hill or Taylor Heinicke, you know, two or three, let's just, for example, say Sean Hill remains the second quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think that Taylor Heinicke will be the third quarterback on practice squad. I think that he has shown too much last season, and he'll show too much this season to, if we try to put him on practice squad, he's not going to make it. He's not going to make it there. Some other team will pick him up and give him a shot because, you know, he has been successful and he has shown a lot of good things.
And it could be a deal where if you need to get out of a game, you go to Sean Hill. But if your starter is going to be hurt for 7 weeks, then maybe you use that time to develop Heinicke. You know, that could be an option too for the Vikings. So lots of different ways that one could shake out. It will all shake out at training camp. And training camp is coming up in a couple of weeks. This edition of the Wobcast is over, but we're going to be back next week with another edition of the Wobcast, and it will be a training camp preview edition of the Wobcast where Jordan and I will go down the roster and break down every position group from the 10,000-foot view, give you a general summary of where the Vikings are as they head into 2016 Verizon Vikings training camp on the campus of Minnesota State University, Mankato. And we'll just take a look at where the roster is. It should be a lot of fun. That is in next week's edition of the Wobcast. This week's edition of the Wobcast is over, so we thank you for listening. I thank Jordan Strzok for producing. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This Wobcast is over. Until next time, talk to you later.
Sleep well, Jerry from Lakeville.
So, yeah, the sky's wearing purple, wearing purple.